Have you ever dreamed of a life designed by you, not for you? A life where you hold the reins of your financial future? At Become an Investor, we believe in you and your unique potential. We're a community of like-minded individuals all walking the path towards financial independence. We understand that success is crafted in the face of adversity. It's in these testing times that we discover our resilience, our determination, and our discipline. That's why we're inviting you to learn more about Become an Investor. It's not just about learning the ins and outs of real estate investing. It's about empowering you to take control of your financial future. We'll provide the tools, but the choice to act, to persevere, and to succeed is yours. Join us and start your journey towards living life by design. Together, we'll turn aspiration into reality and empowerment into success. Learn more at becomeaninvestor.com.
Welcome, everyone. We're back again here at our Live Life by Design podcast, and we're going to have a very, very interesting night tonight. This episode's going to be extremely loaded with so much experience and knowledge here tonight. The team has actually skipped town today. They just left us alone, huh, Danny?
They do that all the time. I'm going to start feeling complaining, you know?
Yeah, man. I mean, we got to start, you know, giving all these people tickets and citations for not showing up.
There you go.
Yeah. Anyway, so I'm your host, Huicho Medina, here, and my co-host and my partner, Daniela Magnani from Magnani Estates. How you doing, Danny?
Magnani Estates, Magnani Group, and Magnani Capital pretty soon. Right. Watch out for so cool. This girl. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, yeah. How you doing tonight?
Doing good. Doing great. Very excited. I'm going to have a full week full of knowledge and, you know, new learning. I'm excited. This week, it's on fire for me.
That's so cool. Yeah, right on. So tonight we have a very, very powerful guest, I would say. And Danny, would you want to share some of the insight?
Yes. Tonight we have this girl, Power Girl Night. I love it. Be careful, yeah. Huicho.
Oh, my God.
Here it's Luita Gonzalez. I want to talk a little bit about her. She is a realtor. I met her through a phone call, actually, and you just engage in conversation, and she start talking about who she is. She is a realtor. She got the knowledge on real estate, starting on a management company with zero experience.
Wow.
She owns her first property at the age of 22.
Really?
She's loaded of information, and what is the most beautiful in that, she leveraged it a lot. Right now she's doing notes and syndicating.
Right, what on.
It's amazing. Girls power tonight. That is beautiful. Yeah. So yes, Luita Gonzalez.
So yeah. Without further ado, Luita, how are you doing tonight?
I'm good. Thank you. Thanks for inviting me.
So happy to have you here.
I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
Do you podcast frequently or so often?
I have in the past, just, you know, like the apps on your phone and things like that. But I've done a lot of YouTube and educational stuff. And, you know, I don't mind the camera.
Right on. Right on. Cool. Cool.
Or the attention.
Yeah. So here with us, I mean, you know, we have this habit of starting off with one topic and then ending up
somewhere else, huh?
But we just take it really casual conversations. When we have conversations and we touch on topics with the common ground of real estate investing, there is so much to discover, right? So there's always golden nuggets for our audience to tap onto and take home, and then be able to grow based on our craziness and our experiences that we all bring together in our episodes at the Live Life by Design podcast. But I want to go ahead and read your quote. We always start with a quote. This is something that it's kind of like our staple, because I think that quotes are very important, are very powerful. I think they are a very strong tool that help us get out of wherever we're at when we desire not to be there, right? So, like, for me personally, I know that my quotes are very, very, very carefully selected, just because they're a tool. They're a tool to empower me when nobody's looking, right? So sure. Yours reads, God changes all policies for me. That is deep. Would you mind expanding on that?
Well, you know, God is it depends on what you believe in, but I believe that God is the master of everything, mm-hmm. right? And the knower of all. So sometimes you go down this road, especially in real estate, where you feel like there's boxes, you know, like she was saying, you got in flipping apartments. Some people go to college. Some people, it doesn't matter what your experience. If you're led to do this, it's going to find you. It's going to be part of your path. And a lot of people think, just for an example, there was one lady that couldn't afford a house, right? Her credit was jacked. And traditionally in the real estate world, there's a no.
Right.
But in the God world, there was a yes, because there was an owner that liked her so much that said, I'm going to carry the note for you.
Mm.
That's against policy. I mean, how many people do that? There has to be a trust, a faith. And, you know, so, and I've seen people buy properties for like, this one guy told me he got like 5 different trailers for $1 each.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is so cool.
That's God, you know?
Yeah.
Because we make value to the money. Right?
Right.
And God is like, well, if I want to do what I want to do, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. There's no
absolutely
rules, policies, nothing. And so it just reminds me that any chain can be broken.
Yeah.
You know, you have to have faith. Yeah. You just got to have faith. And, you know, people have proven it, like Nelson Mandela and people who just go beyond what we and our human mind
mm-hmm.
can conceive.
Right.
Right. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just because we've been brought up in such a controlled environment that we are led to believe certain things at certain times and different seasons in life, and these patterns have been ongoing for generations and generations and generations, and they will continue to further go for 1,000 generations more up until you make the decision to break it. To break the chain and then gather all your resources and your inner strengths and believe in yourself and say, you know what? Today's the day. Mm-hmm. This stops today. But then he gives you that belief. He gives you that power. He allows you to break those policies because he can very well say, no, you can't. Not today.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Right on. Cool. Cool. So, Danny, what are your thoughts on that quote?
I just believe. I'm a believer.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't go to church every Sunday, mm-hmm. but God is my guidance, and there is nothing that you cannot do if you want to achieve something. I think the right moment, it's going to be there, right? If you are on the right moment, if you're prepared, and it's not a... It's like, it's a guidance. It's God. It comes from heaven. I always say that. This is something that I always say. It is not going to be your master's degrees in whatever. It's not going to be. It's your gift.
Right.
You were born with a gift.
Yeah.
And once you find that gift, and that gift it give you, you know, for the from God, that's what I believe. So that is your gift. Use it.
Yeah.
Knowledge. You know, I mean, use what it's put in front of you and don't just disbelieve, just believe. You don't need the strongest thing that I believe it's you don't need to have, I don't think you need to have a super high level of education to just be gifted.
Right.
So just pay attention in what's calling your attention, what's giving you that passion, mm-hmm. because that is your gift.
Yeah.
It comes from heaven.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I agree 100%. And you know what? In your questions that, thank you for answering all the questions, you know, the questions that pretty much are the structure of our podcast, I highlighted some areas. We're going to go over them. because they're important. They're important, and they resonate so much with who I am and how I've built my business. And as I'm highlighting, I'm thinking, in entrepreneurship, all these factors are common denominators, right? So, but tonight is not about me. Tonight is not about Danny. Tonight is about you. So tell us furthermore about you. What made you want to be an entrepreneur?
Well, what made me want to be an entrepreneur?
Was that a discovery? Was that something just you woke up and said, I'm changing this? And
I've always been an entrepreneur, I think.
Okay.
I started babysitting really early at like 12. You can't do that now, I don't think.
Oh.
But and I always had $100 in my bag as a youth teenager. Oh, wow. I always wanted money.
Yeah.
I mean, that's usually the drive to be an entrepreneur is right. You want a lifestyle that you don't have to beg people for money.
Yeah.
And so I was just really good at, you know, doing my chores. I learned that doing chores gets you money. Then getting a little side job gets you money. And like I said, I got married young and we bought houses and we flipped houses. Mm-hmm. And so I learned somewhat of the game, you know, just doing a few houses that we owned. And I just always am. I've been like a leader type. I don't follow people. I never was a crowd follower. I didn't have groups of friends. I kind of was a loner.
Yeah.
Welcome.
I can relate.
And I never really grabbed onto the everybody, you know, like I was real quiet and people thought, well, she's stuck up or, you know, they always say a lot of these really highly successful people are isolated. I was definitely, and I loved being by myself. I wasn't like sad riding my bike by myself. So I kind of had that independent kind of alpha nature from little. I mean, I was very soft and sensitive too, but I think I was trying to figure out the world. The world was a curiosity to me.
Yeah.
And I think all that isolation and all that, like, kind of being by myself. I mean, I had friends, but I wasn't, like, your typical, like, everybody knows her and she's, like, popular and all that. And I did better with independent studies. Like, I'm self-motivated, self-taught, self-guided.
Yeah,
everything is self. And then it wasn't until I got, like, started doing the property management that I realized, wow, I'm really good with people. Just different people.
Yeah.
The investors to the tenants, to the low income, to the homeless, to the hedge fund guys, to the, you know, high finance guys, banks. Like I could deal with any room you put me in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some rooms I wouldn't want to be in very long, but
yeah,
I could go in there, you know, say a prayer and I could go in there. And that I had like an understanding of people. On a different level and an acceptance of people. But yeah, leadership has always been in my heart. And part of that was because I grew up, you know, not really having parents. So I had to be my own leader. I had to be my own protection, my own. You either sink or swim. You're either going to have someone lead you or you're going to be the leader.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, let me ask you something. You said something that obviously, like in entrepreneurship, it does resonate, and maybe some of our entrepreneurs can find some answers to everyday questions. Which is, I'd like to get your view on that solitude that entrepreneurs indeed would rather be on, you know, more on the not that social butterfly type of deal. Why do you think that is? I mean, do you think is it not interested in the gibberish kids want to, you know, talk about and the next Netflix hit or the World Series and are focused more so on their plan? Or what do you think it is?
Well, I think that entrepreneur to me means leader because you are in the forefront. You are establishing something normally by yourself and building it for others.
Yeah. Right?
And I think that isolation makes you look at people and you see their rhythms and their ways. And for me, it's like I observe people and it's like, especially with my intuition, like if I don't like somebody, it's like instant. I don't need like a whole bunch of times to hang out and see, you know, And that's because I did a lot of isolation and just observing people.
Right.
You know, where people were talking, I'm just watching everything. And so I think that's where that separation comes in. Because a lot of the people, I heard this one quote, it said, you know, the wise man is very quiet, but the fool is just constantly talking.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like,
it is true.
You can't hear yourself.
Right.
Or even the other person when you're talking. So you're just a fool.
Yeah. Right?
So who wants to hang out with a whole bunch of cackling fools? And, you know, a lot of women like to just sit there and gossip and compare. And I had it really rough with women. I don't know what it was, but it's just always a jealousy or, she's so quiet. She thinks she's stuck up. I don't really want to talk. I want to do what I want to do. Mm-hmm. So, and I was very much a nature person. Like I love the beach and just to sit in nature, you know, and, I obviously went to church when I was little too. So, you know, I just, I think it's God's plan. So I don't know. God has a plan for why entrepreneurs have similar things, but that's what I think. That's my version of what I think.
Yeah. 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 Danny, any input?
No, I am quite opposite than that. I mean,
You're a party girl, huh?
Not really. I love.
No, I like to party too. Oh, I can go crazy. I mean, I'm from Miami.
Oh my god. No, I do like to go party, and on the other hand, I like quiet.
Yeah.
And if I need to concentrate and I need to look for the business or I'm in, you know, something that I need to study, finish, learn, be creative, I want to see nobody around me. Mm-hmm. So I just want to look. Yeah, yeah. I want to look it. And if I'm not done, I might turn it off the phone. I might turn it off the TV. It's me, the computer, and, you know, doing what I need to do and maybe my books. I might answer one or two. But when I'm done, I'm done. I will see my people, you know, and then I'm back home and I'm alone. And I like it.
Yeah.
And I enjoy. I think that is, it's just like, it's meditation time. It's more like compress. You know, right now I'm so excited because I'm going to do some good stuff this week for mentorship and things like that. But I'm 100% sure on Sunday when I get back, I'm going to be exhausted because all my energy and my concentration is there.
Yeah.
So, and I try to be present. I try to be 100% because the conversation is good. It's what you're saying, right? Conversation is good. Mm-hmm. The mindset's about the same. We are all looking for the same, you know, same results, but the mindset's a blowing mind. And sometimes you go and you sit all day in a bar with a group of dumps and they, oh my goodness, I just look at them. I'm just like, can't I just go home? You know, I can't do it.
Yeah.
I used to party hard, but right now I like to have my time and my lonely time just bring me peace. And that is what makes me grow. I think every entrepreneur, I'm still not good at that word, needs the little quiet and peaceful time to grow, to read their own mind and to see what's the next step they are looking at.
Yeah.
You know, it's building time.
Yeah.
It's like Legos, you know?
Right.
I love it. So yeah, it's a different world. Entrepreneurs are crazy, lonely wolves, but they are building all the time.
Yeah.
You need that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you know what? From my perspective, you know what I enjoy a lot? I enjoy fulfillment, right? The fulfillment in everything I do is just being able to sit back and then see everybody connect with what you create, create results, create a pathway, and then that alone is a great payday. You know, just seeing the joy or seeing the thought process in somebody else going into a deep thinking phase, trying to put everything together or make it fit how they think, how they learn, how they do all this. But you sparked that. You initiated that. To me, that's like, wow, this is the fattest check I can get.
Yeah.
you know,
inspiring people, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, here you said you knew that God wanted you to have your own empire. That is, we cuss here, okay?
I don't care.
That is by far one of the best fucking sentences I've read up until 40 plus episodes we've been in.
Wow.
It is powerful.
Wow.
You knew that God wanted you to have your own empire.
Mm-hmm. Well, fempire, but.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. There you go.
I didn't want to offend anybody.
Yeah, but. No. Sensitive people get banned out of her podcast.
Go home.
No. Right on, man. I love that. I love that so much. And I want to hear from you. How has that been for you? Where are you at with it? When were you convinced that he chose you to create your own empire and said, you know what, you are fully capable, wake up and get it done?
Well, every time I tried to do something, it just went really well.
Wow, yeah.
And like I said, from when I was a kid, I used to bake cookies, and I got the little whatever brand it was with the chocolate chips, and I looked to do the recipe. I was probably like 8 or 9, and I was like so nervous, like following the instructions, never did it before. Made a batch of cookies, gave them to the neighbors, and then everybody wanted me to start baking cookies. And I was like, well, that was just a one-time thing, but I loved cooking too. So when I became a chef, I didn't even have to have a sous chef or do dishes or anything. I went to executive like literally overnight.
Wow.
And then I started making food for motivational speakers and really, really famous people that were standing on stages. All their clients would come to a retreat center, and I did one interview, made food for the staff, and they're like, it's her, you know? So God has never really made me have to crawl too much, but I knew my gifts, like you were saying, like I have a lot of gifts, and every time I seem to do them, it goes well. I try not to do things that are not my gift because it's not my gift.
Yeah, as you shouldn't.
Suck at
right.
it.
Yeah.
And I didn't really know that real estate was a gift until, you know, every house we bought, we flipped, we fixed it, got asking or over. So I wasn't really thinking about that because it was just, you know, in my marriage. And then when I got into it for a business, like I said, I was managing thousands of people, right, for years.
And you had zero experience on
And that. Zero experience.
Just I got had thrown into the lions.
I had to learn banking, real estate, fixing and flipping, commercial real estate, which is different from regular homes.
Absolutely.
Working with the banks, working with realtors, working with contractors, working with the homeless. I mean, investors, just everything, the city, dealing with the city and the planning and all that stuff. And I got really good at like just follow up with that. And it was very stressful. The first few years were like, and then I think my first few years, I was probably in eviction court for probably 3-4 years straight.
Wow.
I am a lawyer now. Wow. And I won every case. And if I didn't win, I did successful strategies because I just like to win, you know?
Yeah.
And a lot of these tenants are awful. I'm just going to be honest. If you can't pay and you're messing up the place, like I'm a very ethical person. I would even give cash for keys sometimes. Like, hey, just, we understand you got problems. Just, why don't you just go take the money and you don't owe anything?
Yeah.
And I learned about the human condition. So I also realized my tolerance was high and just, you know, everything that I've done so far, like to answer your question, I had been managing somebody else's portfolio and then I started building my own. And I was like, wow, my first mentor, he does manufactured homes now, but he was like the OG in like Crenshaw, LA area, bought all the crap there and flipped it and then became a billionaire by the time he came to me. And he was the one that had me manage his fix and flips for multifamily. He taught me all about multifamily and dealing with the banks. And he had such a relationship. All I had to do was really call and say, hey, we want to put an offer on this. And it was done. And like, when you are with a bank like that, he even asked me after 4 years in, you want to buy a building? those are the type of people you need to be around.
Yeah. Is he still active?
He doesn't do the multi right now. He's doing manufactured home communities. So he's doing homes. He did one out in Daggett. He did like 200 units. But he's so tapped in. All he has to do is like call somebody and be like, hey, I want to buy this. And the banks are like, sure. You know, he built relationship. Like, so he taught me how to build relationship with banks, right? And the pictures that they need and the follow through. And I was really good at it. And so when a lot of people never saw him, I did everything for him. And so one day someone came to me and said, oh yeah, he said you made him so much money. And I finally got to one day, I was like, I'm making all these people billions of dollars, right? Millions and billions. And even the other lady that I managed her portfolio, she was my broker. At that time, I got my real estate license. So I'm like making her millions and millions of dollars. And I'm like, I'm a millionaire maker. What the?
Yeah, where's my
Without
million?
Me, they wouldn't have this. Like I literally, she started at $300,000 a year. When I left her back in December, $2.5 million a year.
Wow.
Yeah, off her, just her portfolio I was managing.
Yeah.
Like she made way more than that, but I just was like, okay, well, you know, I need to just put this energy into me and build my empire. And God told me, you know, do this, do that. The syndication wasn't me. It was God. Mm. You know, mm-hmm. I woke up one day and God said, form a syndication. Then I Googled it because I didn't even really know what it was.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I saw this lady, this Asian lady that was a doctor, and she had gotten all the medical people to syndicate for real estate. And I was like, why is she in my lane? What? Mm-hmm. A doctor? All their 401ks, the retirement, all that money that they make, mm-hmm. it would make sense to put it in a fund and they could buy bulk amounts of property and real estate.
Yep.
And so I was like, she's a genius. I'm going to do this, you know, because it makes sense. I'm in the industry. I'm a realtor. I know brokers, lenders, all these different people. And I just said to people I knew, I'm forming a syndication, and went on a Zoom and got like five people that have been dedicated to me for 9 months, right? Every meeting, I don't miss a meeting. And we're building our fund up. We're teaching strategies on how to create funding without a lot of income, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And like getting into the notes too. There's a whole bunch of stuff. And when I say it's God, is because it wasn't my idea. God put it in me, right? And then I researched it, and then it just, all these people just started coming. Like, I want to be a part. I have people knocking on my door right now, but I want to limit it to, once we get our funding, my next year, we'll have, hopefully we'll be set to get our target goal of 15 million.
Okay.
And we can go shopping.
That's great. Yeah.
I'm not afraid of numbers.
So you haven't purchased anything yet with that.
So I have my own portfolio. So things that I've acquired and just, you know, finagling things, mm-hmm. you know, in the wholesale market, or knowing other investors or mentors that are like, hey, do you want to buy this? But for my syndication, and some of them have their own properties too, but as the syndication, because we had to get all the legal paperwork, some of us are using, most of us are using insurance policies to leverage, mm-hmm. right? We've got a guy that has been doing insurance policies for 10 years. He is just an angel, and so you could only get so much with one policy.
Yeah.
But when you have combined policies,
right,
it's a whole nother level.
Yeah.
Because they want to see volume of numbers. And let's just say if we went in and we could use that policy, mm-hmm. say it's worth $1 million. We all have policies within the group and it's valued at $1 million or $2 million. We could leverage that on a deal and not even have to compromise it.
Right.
You know, and I know that there's a lot of real estate gurus and stuff that say you can leverage as a person for yourself. You can mm-hmm. pull out that money, then take that seed money and go do it. But with the power with numbers makes it so you don't have to leverage anything. You can just use the policy as a negotiable instrument,
right?
And you don't have to pull out of it. It's still there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had a good friend of mine here, which does insurances. Mm-hmm. And we went on the whiteboard and we were talking about the power behind utilizing insurance policies for acquisitions in real estate, and then connecting that to a trust, right, where the beneficiary is the trust, and it's a complete circle.
Yeah, and if you get property, so he did a demonstration. It was like a few weeks ago. He did a demonstration. And so I ended up getting my license with that because I had so many people sign up and so many family members wanted to do it that I didn't even have to do anything. And I just created a whole nother stream of revenue without even trying to do it, you know? And so, and then it just trickles on. Once you get a whole large amount like I did, you don't have to do anything. It just
money kinda, magnet.
Yeah, it just goes and goes and goes. But then we even went further with the corp, getting a corporation, because a trust is good. Mm-hmm. But the corp is what's going to save you from a lot of trouble. When you have the insurance, you have to, you can use that for real estate.
Yeah.
But then you got to pay taxes and all this other stuff. So there's a way that you can bring it back without having to pay any of those taxes and stuff. And so we also get leverage through the corporation. So the corporation holds everything, right? And you can put the house as the LLC, you put it under the corp. And so with the corporation, you can keep getting funded and funded and funded because it's not you.
It's, right. It's the entity.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a thing. You know, the United States is the United States Corporation of Illinois.
Right.
Like, really? It's a corporation? Like, everything's a corporation. Your birth certificate makes you a corporation, really. But I don't get into all that.
Yeah.
Stuff. Like not, I'm not trying to get money off of my birth certificate. I just want this corp. It's some other name. It's, and that's how the founders of the big money, you know, they do corporate funding. They do corporate lending. And once you understand it, like with the underwriting. So one of my mentors was the underwriter for Bank of America Holdings.
Okay.
And they are economicmasonry.com. And so what they do is he has streamlined it so well that within you walk in to up to 6 months, you can get your corporation and get 200, 500, whatever you want. The more you get, the higher your payment. It's a loan.
Right.
But he shows you how to set up everything to where they will say yes, because he did the underwriting. Mm-hmm. And if you know anything about banking and finance, the underwriting is literally your ticket to go.
Yeah.
And if you know exactly what to send in, you're going to get through that light.
Right on. So. Yeah. So disclaimer really quick, before we go any further, we are not legal counsel devices. Or
finders.
Absolutely.
Not legally liable for anything.
And seek your legal counsel. But pay attention, right? Because these are tricks and tips of the trade that everybody's applying into their business and, you know, achieving the success that you wish you'd have one day. So just prep yourself and utilize your number one tool, which is the tool of listening, right? So is there a minimum threshold for people to come in into your syndication? Is there a minimum?
So number? I'm building this group for now, just, and I've talked to someone who had a big deal in Beverly Hills and one of my students, cause I also teach, one of my students was like, they want to talk to you. And then when I spoke to him, big deal, Beverly Hills, like $20 million house and all this. And they were like, oh yeah, he said you had a syndication, and we're just like, so it gives you some power there. I don't know why people are so afraid. And some people are like, ugh, syndication, because they know that you can't mess with that many people. You have a tribe, you have something solid. And hey, it's God. God did that. I was like, okay, I'll just do this. And I love how dedicated they are. And I love how we're going to build this thing and we're funding it more. We even have a bank that will come in and give us real estate money. So it's not like regular money. So if we put $150,000 in their bank because they need money, the banks need money, they will back us with an X amount to go get real estate.
Yeah.
So, and we're thinking about that. So we're just taking our best solutions, because I feel like, you know, where we're headed is more creative.
Absolutely.
Type of stuff. And I think the lending world is changing a little bit. Yep. I mean, I have a meeting tomorrow with a mortgage lady that has notes and stuff. And she was trying to sell me a note over the phone. I was like, no, not right now. I don't want to do that right now. But she expects a massive like flow, and they don't even know what to expect, right? They don't know if it's gonna, if the mortgage companies and these hedge fund guys are gonna bail them out. Nobody really knows if it's gonna be like flowing so hard to where we're like, or people are just like, buy my house for $500. You know, yeah. Like we don't know what's gonna happen. We're all like, what? But those that are building their funds are getting prepared, and I feel that there's something coming that's going to open a door for people who would have never had a chance to get wealthy with real estate. I really feel that. I know Grant was saying that to people, and I met someone who's on his training with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to talk bad about people, but I'm just going to say that the people I train, I'm more smaller volume. So when mm-hmm. you ask me, am I going to let people in? Mm-hmm. It's too hard to open the floodgates to everybody because
absolutely.
The energy and their heart, like I'm building, this fund is like, it's massive. So if I have someone in there that doesn't have the same mindset or the bad energy or whatever, I have to clear them out. And then I not only have to pay to get them out. So for me, it's better to keep it small, get this funded, get our syndication going. And then the next launch is the school and the coaching and things like that. And that's what I'm launching right now. And that's just because I know a little bit about everything in real estate, but I don't know everything. I'm not saying I know everything, but I'm one of those people. If I don't know, I'm going to find out.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So well, don't try me.
No, I mean, in real estate, like I tell everybody, I'm not interested in knowing everything about real estate.
Yeah.
I don't care. I'm not worried about it. I'd rather learn about, you know, a different color mix. Like, what do you get if you mix green with neon or something like that?
But that's part of real estate. You know that colors matter when you're selling stuff.
But, you know, it's like we say here we have our five currencies, right? And we don't. You don't have to know everything.
This podcast is sponsored by Become an Investor. Here at Become an Investor, we believe in you and your unique potential. We're a community of like-minded individuals all working a path towards financial independence. We're about empowering you to take control of your financial future. Well, how? Well, most of us got started with foreclosure leads, and you now can too. Follow the link in the show notes below, and for a limited time, you can get our foreclosure ebook. With that, we'll also send you up to 10 free leads in your local area. So get those leads. Get this book so you too can get started on your path to living life by design. Now back to the podcast.
You don't, because there's so many people that know stuff. Like even, but
that's where leverage comes in.
But you'd be surprised. I've asked people about these notes,
mm-hmm.
mortgage people.
Yeah.
And they don't know anything about them. And I'm like, but you're in mortgages where the notes are create. What?
What? Yeah.
They're
in that box.
Well, see, I'm one of those nosy people that just ask to know everything. I'm like.
Yeah, but they do their job, right? They're in the mortgage world. They do their job within that box.
Well, that's like banking. What I told you about corporate funding,
mm-hmm.
they don't let any bankers know about this because I've had many bankers that I've got them corporations and they're like, the bank never told me about this. And I'm like,
be curious.
Yeah.
I don't know. They also probably don't tell you if you make a minimum of 15 months of payments. And let's just say, let's call it Willie Corp, and it gets a little stressful. And, you know, maybe you had a bad investment and you're just struggling to make that payment. After 15 months, they get $1 million for your mess up. And they're like, bye. And you can go get another Willie.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, I mean, there's so many tricks. there's so many tricks and so many politics. And policies.
It's a game. It's a
right?
game.
It's a huge game. It is a huge game. And I think a lot of people lose their focus trying to learn everything. And, you know, like to the people that are just trying to get started into the business, I say first knock out your fears, right? Mm. Take action and then discover what it is that you that your power is. Because here you say, you know, the power that everyone has mm-hmm. something special to offer the world. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, how can you tell people, if you were to give people a tip on how to discover the power that they have, that special power to offer the world, what would be one or two steps to discover some of those inner powers?
Well, I think everybody has a superpower. It might even be something stupid, like just making people laugh. Like it that is powerful. Absolutely. Like if you have the ability to make someone laugh and bring joy, it's amazing. So I just think that it's everyone's personal journey. I happen to be a person that could look at people and find something good in everybody, even if they're, well, maybe not the crazy one, but I need to work on that one. But for the most part, if they're sane,
yeah,
I can usually see I have a gift of, that's why I build teams so well. And that's why I was able to manage thousands of people. Like literally my phone was nonstop. I'm so happy to be done with that. But everybody has that special thing. And like you said, if they just quiet a little bit and get to know themselves. And I just feel like I have a special ability to maybe because I'm so in love with me, you know, and that I love God too. And I have like a compass that I just remind people that you are loved too. You are made from the Creator. Like how could you not 100%. Know who you are? You know, even if you don't, just take your journey whenever you find it. You could be 90. There's some people who don't get success till they're like 80, 90 years old. Who cares?
Yeah,
you know,
Kentucky Fried Chicken was what? 65, 60, 75, something like that. Yeah. Right.
And yeah.
I mean, you know, KFC became the thing after he was, you can Google that, Bruce.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. It's like, and some kids, like my daughter, she was like in her little car seat at like a few months old, like shaking and winding her whole body. Like she already came out knowing she loves to dance and sing and no fear and all outgoing and just that's the way, you know. But I think it's harboring, allowing people to be who they are. And then sometimes you are a steward of the light.
Yeah.
And I happen to believe that I'm a steward of the light because God put something in me to make me let people know that they could love themselves and they could be what God wants them to be.
Yeah. You know what? I think society is so busy trying to be an adult that they forget to be a child. Right. And then they don't want to play anymore because they want to live, but then they can't see that they stopped living when they stopped playing.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, see, that's like, fine.
Life is fucking fun, man.
Well, you know? May have something there because I still roller skate. I still hula hoop. I'm stuck in the 80s. I grew up in the 80s. So I'm just like totally like a Valley girl. Grew up in Silicon Valley. And I just really love being a kid. I was able to be a kid and play outside. Now, some people weren't. So, but they need just, there's so many things you can do to get that inner child back, you know?
Yeah.
And that's important because all this work stuff and these stuffy meetings and this money stuff and just all this stuff. And sometimes you just want to just be a free little rascal, you know?
And say something that I want to pick a little bit. They'll say, you know, this money stuff. Did you notice how many people just stop living and chasing money? And they are never able to fulfill their spirit, you know, to get on their goals because they're chasing the money and they forget about their joy.
Yeah.
So it becomes a job where we have zero patience, zero love, zero passion.
Zero. I like what you say. Zero. I'm going to start using like, that. Zero.
Zero. I got this.
Brazilian.
I have a zero tolerance for you.
I have zero tolerance for you. Fulfill your joy. I love life.
I need you to record that for me.
Zero. No, seriously.
But it's true.
When do we stop living and looking for what really brings joy? Your joy, it's coming because you are teaching, you're building something, and you're teaching people how to have that freedom, financial freedom. But you're doing that through coaching, through teaching, right? So that gives you the joy to keep doing.
Well, one day I'm going to get like $1 million just for talking. That's the kind of lifestyle I want to have because I feel like, you know, if you devalue yourself, it's just like I said, when I was working for other people, making them millions, now I'm not. And I feel so free. And now I work less and get more. I know that sounds really weird, but maybe it was because I built up this momentum.
Yeah.
And these teams and these businesses and just have a heart to know that I have something special. Like you said, I just know that what I'm giving is from the heart. And those who want to build with me are just going to be attracted to that. And so I don't stress anymore. It's almost like your 9-to-5 is almost like a, like they say, a mortgage, a death pledge. Sorry, lenders out there, but I'm just saying.
No, it is.
And it's just one of those things where you sometimes when you just relax and you just allow, you know, God again to do what they're supposed to do. I don't really think that we're all supposed to be working like dogs. I just don't buy that. But hey, if some people love that and they want to do that, leverage with other things. So in case if you don't want to do it, you have something to fall back on. I'm not saying do everything that I need to do. But I remember when I was working a lot, I was just so tired and burnt and just like, it just wasn't a good thing. I want to travel and I want to teach and I want to, I'm just the leverage lady.
Yeah. Well, I mean, leverage will take you so many different places.
Yeah, because especially in real estate,
investors' relationship.
Making $100,000 in a year by just holding, what thing do you have? I mean, maybe some crypto, but what if you don't know what you're doing, you know, and they make all these promises and doesn't mean the market could crash, you know, stocks, it could crash. And yeah, you could probably make $500,000-$600,000 in a day, but you the training and the 24-hour watching stuff to pull in and pull out or whatever you're going to do, that to me is not worth it. I don't know, the stress, like, oh, you know, looking at all these numbers. And
it is.
Real estate, you can leverage. You could even buy or you could even rent 10 houses and have a whole income just by adding a little on each house. You don't own it. You just got a lease and you just found someone to put in it.
Right.
You could replace your 9-to-5.
Absolutely.
Just by renting out houses that you don't even own.
100%, 1,000%. That's the beauty of real estate because there's so many different creative strategies. You know, going back to what you were saying earlier, we were talking about that yesterday, last night in our Monday calls, which was, you know, whatever the industry is going to do or whatever the industry is doing now, I was telling all the students in our team, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Just
shift with it.
Just adapt. Adopt and adapt. That's it. Right? Nothing changes. So as long as you're vigilant, like Fausto said, one of our students said, you know what? I'd like to be vigilant. You know, cool. If you're aware and you're not just like dowsing away, you're gonna be able to adapt.
Well, I think you guys are going to be very busy. That's what I predict. My Nostradamus prediction. but that's what I feel it. Because during COVID, I set up a nonprofit because I knew I was looking at how property management really, as much as people don't know about this, but it sets the pace for the housing market for even the mortgages because those investors are investing in the bank. Mm-hmm. And if they're not getting their rent, then they look at all that stuff.
Yeah.
If you saw how the flow was, it was fine. The housing market was fine during COVID. It wasn't until the renters stopped paying that the shift started happening. And I saw that. And so I set up a nonprofit to do education, to help people, to help landlords and tenants with that stress. Right. And so, I don't know. I mean, they're going to have to bail out a lot of people. That's all I got to say, because there's investors that haven't gotten paid for years from that COVID money.
Yeah. I mean, and some of the stupid, I mean, I'll just say it again, stupid laws and rules that we have here in California. Yeah. You know, I think it was January 1st of 2023 when it went into effect where I shouldn't even say it. I'm not even going to say it. I'll say it off camera because if I say it now, everybody that's listening will say, you know what? I'm going to go do this. And it'll affect landlords. But
are you talking about what they can pay and can't pay?
What they can pay and not pay. Yeah. And
shame on you. Whoever voted in that. Did you vote against that?
My heart skipped.
But everybody, you need to vote. This is really important because these laws are presented to all of us. I understand everybody's busy and maybe they didn't have time to actually read it thoroughly, but you can go and have someone translate it. You could go and get the book and look it up. Just type it out. Section, something, whatever they call those laws. And just get someone to help you. I remember because I did a few years in eviction court and I was like, they would say certain standards. Like one time I had a lease that was so old. It was so old and the judge took it in. It was like a 30-year-old lease.
Wow.
Whoa.
And the guy was living in the garage. We bought the property. The guy was living in the garage. According to these old statutes, because the lease was so old, they had to go back for some kind of loophole, bull crap.
Yeah.
But the guy was living in the garage. And according to the law, if you have a hot plate and a TV and a bed, that's a livable dwelling.
Really?
And we had to pay him to get out. And wow. That lease was so old.
That's
not a valid lease because there were several people that bought the property after that. And we were just looking at it and I was just like, oh my goodness. And so we had to pay him to get out. But I just couldn't, I didn't even know that about the hot plate and the TV.
You know what?
You don't even need a bathroom.
Really?
And it's considered.
Yes, can use the trees around.
In Mexico, if you rent a place, I think it's 10 years. If you rent a place beyond 10 years, you can claim it as yours.
I think Brazil has some law like that. If you pay the taxes here in the USA, right?
Yeah, taxes here in the US too.
Yeah, they do that. But it's such a risk because if it's a nice property, there's no way someone's going to come and pay those taxes. But, I mean, if they've been, deceased or murdered or something, maybe someone might get a lucky one, but I've never did the tax lien thing. It seems like a lot of work and it does do a nice return though. If you just want to put your money somewhere to get a nice little return and then hope we get the property, but that's, I like to do more sure type of real estate.
Yeah. I mean, it goes to, you have to, we talk about this all the time. You have to discover your investor ID, what you're best at, right? Yeah. Where is the best version of you engaging in, right? Some people don't like taxes. Some people don't like probate. Some people don't like multifamily. Some people don't like the tenants. Some people don't like notes. Some people don't like lending.
Is horrible.
Probate is,
it's not horrible.
I'm going to send you all my probate.
No, send it on.
Well, you know what I don't like about you all these?
Tangled up,
takes,
though.
It just takes long.
I don't have patience for all that.
If you think about it, it's going to be on your pipeline. Why you need to stress today about something that's coming tomorrow?
Yeah, but the thing is that you first have to dig and find the fucking pipe.
And then fill it. Doesn't matter. Still going to be on their pipeline.
I had a tenant that I was going to buy her house. I had her cash offer and everything. The probate people are not easy to deal with.
I know.
No, they're
not. And they don't. They want their.
No, they are very easy because they are dad. Who's not the easiest?
No, I'm saying the lawyers. Yeah. But the lawyers have their own teams.
I know.
And they want it to go through them. They don't want you.
And lawyers are sketchy, man.
Yeah,
they. I said it.
They are.
No, they've
75,000.
Oh, there's gonna be one day. There's gonna be one day. I kind of let me knock on wood, man. I talk so much stuff on like the building department, the contractors board. One day I'm gonna get my licenses taken away. Nobody's gonna give you a building permit. Now I'm talking on attorneys.
No, when the building department does not like you, just because I had a lady that didn't like me and she lived in my condo. I was like, oh my God. Like literally I walked out my door, there she was. And I was like, I was like, okay, I see you. I see you. I know what you're doing.
Chasing birds.
They get at you and they can, and there's nothing, I even went to the supervisor, there's nothing that they could really do. But finally she kinda let up, I guess. Maybe she got a boyfriend or something. Yeah. And she kinda let up off me, but
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Cool. I mean, so much. I mean, it seems like you got, when are you launching your, or when are you purchasing, making your first purchase with your syndication? Do you have a projected date?
Yeah, so we're projected. We're just waiting for a few other people to get funded, and then we're going to maybe partner with a bank. And then I'm also going to have meetings with this mortgage company because we're going to get on their SEO and their database and maybe partner to take over all the distressed notes. And so, yeah, maybe I'll send you guys a nice little list if I get it.
Yeah.
For this area. Mm-hmm, yeah. For this area. Well, they are everywhere.
Of course.
They do all the states, but they are looking for funding to launch what they got going on with the mortgages and the notes and all that. And so I want to be friends with them.
Of course.
Who doesn't?
Yeah.
And so I have a meeting tomorrow with the team. And if we could figure some kind of synergy together, because that's half the battle. You know, I'm trying to do like huge production. You know, you guys have a school here. Mine's mainly going to be online because it's more going to be a production thing. Like mm-hmm. they come in, they get the training. And, you know, I've heard other schools like Grand Cordon and all the other ones. The turnover is not good because there's so many of them. Mm-hmm. So I want to make sure they get the funding. And Grant supposedly is not, he's not wanting to fund their deals. He'll say, hey, I'm going to make you an investor. But as you know, you can become an investor by yourself.
Yeah.
Or you can have an investor come help you. Luckily for me, I was around a lot of wealthy people. So they were like, hey, I'll help you get your first building. Mm-hmm. And so I want to be able to do that for them too with the syndication. That's why the syndication is there. And so we can partner on some deals with our students.
Yeah.
Because we really want to get them success. It's not just about, I'm just, you know.
Right.
this person, and look at all the millions I have, and I haven't helped one student. Like, that's not what I'm about. And if we can get them the funding too, then they can decide what kind of investor they want to be, like you said.
Yeah.
It's not like they have to follow my cookie cutter the way I did it, because I probably wouldn't. I want people to be trained in property management for the only reason, because if they have clients, or if they, like a lot of realtors don't even know property management, like that should be a requirement.
Yeah.
And they do not know it. I had to get certifications and all that, which wasn't anything special. The life skill was the special, mm-hmm. was what I got. But I think that, you know, if you provide them with the tools, they can decide what they want, but you got to give people tools. So even if they decide, hey, I don't want to invest in any of this, I learned all I can about real estate, every aspect of it. And I just really want to give you my money so I can get a return.
Of course.
And so we're going to allow that. Hey, give me your money. We'll get you a return. Lending. You don't have to worry about a building. You don't have to be talking on phones, going on Zooms, dealing with destruction and fires and whatever.
None of that.
It just collect a check.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of people, you know, I've spoken to a lot of people that say, you know what, I want to become an investor, but I don't want to go to your seminars.
Yeah.
I don't want to read your books. I don't want to be on your shows. I don't want to meet you. Just come. Let's talk over coffee. I got half a mil, three quarters of a mil.
Yeah.
Move my money.
Yeah. Yeah.
Again, that's an investor ID.
Yeah.
It's active. Absolutely.
And we need that money. We need that money for some stuff. And it could be moved and doubled. And, you know, you can get a return of X amount percent each year. And that makes it easy for us. And so we've looked at every avenue, you know, because some people are like, yeah, I love real estate. And then they get into it and they're like, most realtors leave within, I've been a realtor licensed for, I mean, I was doing it way before I had my license, but for probably like 6 years, 7 years, I've had my license. Okay. And I can tell you that most of them are broke.
Oh, yeah.
And most people don't survive the first 1 to 3 years.
Yeah, no. I mean, I tell everybody, some of the investors I know are broke. You know? And it sucks for them because they've, so I say this, everybody gets distracted with the lifestyle. Yeah. You know, because the industry, it's almost like their homework, their task. Make sure they check the box that they introduced you. And I say it this very same way, to the watch, to the suit, to the card, to the travel, to the house, to the boat, to all these different goodies.
Toys.
And then everybody says, oh, I want that car. What do I have to do? Oh, get into real estate. Okay. And then they forget about the process.
Yeah.
Right. So, yeah, a lot of agents are broke. A lot of investors are broke.
Did you hear about the commissions they're trying to take away?
They're gonna take away.
Well, we're figuring it out. Like, I have my whole team, like, figure out how we can write our commissions or something, some kind of legal loophole, because God always makes a way.
I was telling everybody yesterday in our call, no state whatsoever, I don't care what state it is that you want to point out, no state is going to miss out on the taxes generated by that income. It's just going to be renamed.
Redistributed.
Yeah. Redistributed somewhere, but those taxes have to get collected somewhere.
Yeah, it's the same thing where they did that PPP. They gave all the community all this money, and then all the community just put it back in because you would see people shop. I don't know if you saw, but yeah, people were just shopping like maniacs, and it was like, you guys could have invested that in real estate. You could have got a corporation and got double the amount that you got legally.
They got a boat and it's sinking right now. Yeah.
They just got gold from the jewelry. Although gold is good. I'm a gold dealer, so gold is good.
I love
gold and silver. Any type of real money is good, but buying junk and clothes and cars and all that is just a waste of time. But that's why I'm really pushing for realtors to get their corporations so they can become investors too, because they have a little foot in. They have a network. They have people. They have an MLS.
Basic training.
Why wouldn't you learn this stuff? The only thing we can't do is wholesale, but we build teams so that they can do it.
Yeah, but you know what? We spoke about this for 2 hours yesterday. Yes. It was enough.
He's like, I'm done.
And we went for 2 hours, and it was about what the settlement is going to create in the industry. Right. So the first thing to impact is going to be the mindset of absolutely everybody. The mindset before the wallet, 100% of the time. Right. So it's going to be a shift in the mind. There's going to be a scarcity going on. There's going to be fear going on, uncertainty. And then you know what? They're going to be so busy stuck in their fears that when they want to pull the trigger with something, their wallet's going to be empty.
Well, see, I see, because I'm an entrepreneur, remember what you said, I saw this coming. And so I target a lot of realtors to get to corporations and become investors because it's keeping money in the pool, right? Mm-hmm. They know the game. They know what to look for. They could drive by, well, not all of them, but let's just say the majority of them should know after they've sold some houses, like, is this going to pass inspection or is this, you know, those kind of things. Is this the value? They can do comps. I mean, they should know all that stuff. And so they're the best ones to convert to investors because they already know the game.
Yeah, but
they're in the box. So many.
I'm going to respectfully argue that a little because, you know, investors just have a different mentality. We're not indoctrinated, especially us creative buyers. Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm an investor. I'm a realtor-friendly, creative financing person. I love it.
You are 1 in 100.
Well, see, I train people. They do what I tell them to do. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
No, but I would train them to be friendly because I just closed like 4 creative financing deals this month. And I wasn't doing the drive. I'm not a drive-by realtor. I'm not one of those people that, let's go look at stuff.
Yeah.
That's not me.
Yeah, well, that's not in your realtor ID.
Too much wasted time.
Yeah, I mean,
for me,
for you, and for what you got going on, you know. But the early birds, the people that are getting into the industry or the agents starting, they have to do all these things to be able to identify this is not for me or this is not me. My time is better invested elsewhere.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Danny.
No, I'm just thinking. You're talking about the scarcity, and I opened my email today. I have a license that I never use.
Full disclosure.
Full disclosure.
But you needed it at times. It has been good to me at times.
Yeah, I mean, I literally never use. I never put one deal under my license.
Well, I might. So, can you show the Palm Springs for me? You might have to.
Yeah, do whatever you want. And so you get all this. emails, right, from NAR and this and that. They by the time I got in the office, I sat down and I was looking for, you know, I was looking for your emails. And I was looking the emails. There is an email from NAR and it explaining what's going on, because someone say that they're going to do the 6% and it looks like it's not true. And then you open the AQ, there's hundreds of questions and answers, because people are already quitting and scared.
Absolutely.
I'm just like, I swear to God, I just close it and you're talking right now and I'm just like, oh boy.
Well, I told someone I'm not renewing mine. I renewed it twice and I'm not doing it again.
It's this, and it's applicable to every single industry, every single business, every single hobby, everything that money's attached to. It's always the mindset, then the wallet. 100% mindset, wallet going up, mindset, wallet going down.
Yeah,
it's impact that we have that we are led to believe. Oh my God, shit just hit the fan. Let's run.
They're running,
right? Or you know, shit hit the fan. Okay, cool. Opportunity.
Yeah, they don't look at.
Well, that's why I'm saying they need to, like you said, convert. So when I got out of property, well, I'm still doing property management because I also have my own property management company. Mm-hmm. I have too many companies. And so, but they're all the same name, Heart and Solutions Nonprofit, Heart and Solutions Property Management. And so I just shifted. Yeah. You know, and the property management actually kept me afloat when everybody was like during COVID, like I just worked from home and did my stuff and still had deals here and there. I closed a lot of houses during COVID and I didn't even meet the people. I was like, this is
fantastic.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
Cause I was the listing agent. When you're the listing agent, you know?
Yeah.
When you're not, it's like a game. And when I saw that during COVID, I was just like, if I was going to do anything, I just want to be a listing. I mean, that's everybody's wish, right?
Right.
Just to have the listings, because you don't do anything. You just, it's there and people want to see it. They take their client. Didn't even have to do anything. Everything's digital signature. Didn't have to leave, drive nowhere. I was just like, COVID, what? I don't care. I don't want to talk to anybody anyway.
Yeah.
It was pretty good. It was, COVID was good to me. And then I still had the management because people still had to eat and all that. The only stressful thing was all these programs that they had for rent. They're really flawed. And that's why I started my nonprofit because I'm also creating a fund for that for investors.
Got it.
So I'm going to be your new best friend pretty soon. So I'm going to have a fund. Like if you need certain money for repairs, if the tenants are just destroying your property, there's going to be a certain program that I'm going to offer where they don't have, you don't have to wait a million years to get rental assistance.
Yeah.
And then we also will have mediation and just help you with that whole thing to support you.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You're going to be busy in California.
Yeah. Well, that's like I have a whole division that's going to do that whole thing. And
the industry has so many possibilities.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's so cool. That's so cool.
Giant.
With so much going on, I mean, I think we could go on forever and ever and ever. It feels like 20 minutes and we're already at the 1 hour, 10 minute.
Yay.
Mark.
You did it.
It went by pretty quick, right?
It does.
Unless you're moving something here, Bruce, on your phone and the time is. By the way, you never told us when KFC.
It was 62 years old.
62, yeah.
Dang, he looks so. 62 is not old, but he looked like 100 on that thing.
Yeah, 1,000 and 9 no's. Wow.
Oh, wow. You think it's the same recipe? I don't think so.
See? There's salty. Going to be a yes.
Yeah, there's always going to be a yes.
There's always a yes.
Yeah. Yes. There's always going to be
change the plan.
Well, it's usually like
not
when,
the goal.
I don't know if you guys do cold calling with your people, but it's usually like a couple hundred calls to get to like something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something. Encouragement.
Well, no, it's calling. You guys are going to be busy. You guys don't have anything to worry about. Your niche, your school is going to be so busy. You're probably going to have to bring in as many students as you can because it's going to be. Yeah. I'm putting that on blessing you guys.
Thank you.
God's going to give you.
We appreciate your energy.
Yes.
Yeah. Awesome.
It's going to be like amazing. I predict it. It's, I'm a house whisperer, so I'm going to say I'm a rhythm of the real estate
whisperer
too. So.
Thank you. Thank you. We always love good energy.
As always.
Yeah. But let's wrap it up, ladies. Any closing statements, Danny?
No, I'm just in love with this new friend.
Yeah.
I'm in love with her, amazing. Too.
Yeah, it was fun. Thank you for coming. Mm-hmm. Thank you for joining us. Since the day one, we met through the phone, mm-hmm. and then you met, and then it's a great energy.
And I guessed her name, so she's like weirded out.
No.
Yeah, I'm just like, you know my name. I'm from Brazil, and she's my best friend. Is from Brazil. Yeah. Her name is Daniela, and she's
what?
From and she's from and she's from where I was born. It was just like, I'm the reincarnation. You know, she would start making jokes. So and yeah. I have been. Good friends since so then. Cool. So, yes, I right love on. It.
Yeah. I mean, God is in charge of everything. When she said, yeah, that's my name. And she's like, yeah, and that's where I'm from. And yes, I'm from Brazil, too. And it was just too much. I was like, what?
What?
Who is talking to me?
And we connected so deeply. Well, because of the real estate and stuff like that. Yes. And then we just hang out and have a good time.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's important. Yeah. You know, that energy is always going to either bring you in or take you out of that one person, right?
Yeah, and there's enough. Like, I'm one of those people that there's enough abundance for all of us. There needs to be no competition. Like I said, when I get that information, I want to send it over to you guys. Maybe that's something you guys can funnel through what you guys got going on. I think that the mortgages, like he was saying, with the running the background and credit, I think they're going to open up really, like, to where anybody can get a mortgage. I really do think that. It's going to help a little bit. It might hinder a few things, just like the renter's world. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to do a lot of evictions, but I think it will help a lot of people who actually do work hard and just couldn't get a mortgage. You know?
Right on.
Yeah.
That's so cool. That's cool. Yeah. It's cool to hear that there's, hope.
Yeah.
On the other side, right?
Yeah, and we're here to work together.
Yeah.
And always, you know, refer and promote and say, hey, you know, these people are really cool. I've been to your class down and I think it's amazing. I think people should go and check it out.
Thank you.
I was all excited. I was just like inspired and, you know, thank you for inviting me on here. It was
thank you for being here.
Yeah.
But, you know, about promoting and cross-promoting, where can people find?
So I'm on TikTok. You can go under, I'm changing everything. So I'm like, what am I named again? So Heart and Solutions 21 on Instagram, Heart and Solutions on TikTok. And I think I put a few links on there. I don't know if you guys want to link it in the video or down below.
Yeah, we can use this on the video.
Or you can just do my full name and you'll see everything that I have going on.
Cool.
But I'm about to revamp it. So it's best to go on TikTok.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right on.
So do you change again? Don't worry.
I think I'm going to call it Legacy Builders or something like that.
I like it.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I like your overall message. I like the content and your experience that you've shared with us and all of our listeners. And, you know, in closing here to all the younger generations, at 22, she bought her first property. Mm-hmm. And you know why? Because she knew for a fact that God wanted her to build her own empire. When are you going to start building yours? Have a great night.
Thank you very much.
Live Life by Design podcast and
follow us on Facebook. Follow us on Instagram. Don't forget to press that 5 stars and share your program. See you.
Right on. See you all.
Thank you, Lovita.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.